because they had believed in His Word, even in the darkness of our lives on earth. Over the years of my priesthood, I've helped so many souls to struggle with the crosses in their lives by telling them to believe that God is behind their trials. And the more I repeat, our faith is tested here on earth, the happier we shall be in that heavenly eternity we will see the face of God. We go on. In heaven there will also be no more virtue of hope. We know what hope means. Hope is a confident desire of obtaining the good things that God has promised those who love Him. What are these good things? Here on earth, they are all the graces we need and the promise of heavenly glory in the life to come. Our deepest joy here on earth is the joy of hope. But once we reach heaven, we should no longer need God's grace. Say that again. Once we reach heaven, we will no longer need the grace of God. Why not? Because grace is the means that we now need to reach our destiny. Over the years, I've told my students N plus G equals H. Nature plus grace equals heaven. Moreover, we now hope to obtain heavenly glory. Once we reach what we are now hoping for, no more need for hope. Why not? Because the deepest desire in the human heart is to see God. Once we see Him, no hope will be needed, because the vision of God will satisfy our hearts. In today's world, we must be constantly aware and beware of the demonic errors that have penetrated so many Christian circles from the non-Christian Oriental world. Thus, the New Age movement is Simon Pure Hinduism. And from what I understand, millions of Christians are following the New Age movement. At the heart of Oriental paganism is belief in reincarnation. There is no reincarnation. When we are conceived, we not even call that incarnation. It is not as though our spirits were somehow afloat and in need of bodies in which to become incarnate. The moment we are conceived, body and soul coexist. In God's design, both are destined for a heavenly eternity. Given these truths, once we have reached the destiny of our existence, we shall no longer have to hope and that which by God's grace we have attained. I cannot tell you how crucial, how indispensable is a clear and deep faith in this closing article of the Apostles' Creed. Once you believe and understand what you are believing in life everlasting, nothing, and the word is nothing, and the word is nothing on earth has any meaning except as a means of reaching the vision of God. We go on. The opposite of everlasting life is everlasting death. I think it is worth at least saying a few words about the converse of everlasting life. I doubt if there is any single doctrine of Christianity that causes more scandal to those who do not share our faith than the mystery of hell. Even among the faithful, how well I know, belief in everlasting punishment places a heavy burden on our minds. Why? Because it seems, I repeat, it seems to run so counter to all that we believe about the goodness and mercy of God. Certainly, the existence of hell is a mystery. This means that even after the fact has been revealed, we are still unable to comprehend, which means fully understand why it must be so, or how the justice of God, which stands behind the mystery of hell, can be reconciled with His infinite love. Nevertheless, what an important nevertheless. The fact of hell is revealed, and the Catholic Church has never flinched in communicating this truth from Christ, along with the Savior's assuring promise that His words will never fail. From his youngest years, Angelo Roncalli, the future Pope John the 23rd, memorized a four-line stanza, remained, as he said, a motto for the rest of his life. It was entitled, For Future Things. Death, that means nothing is more certain. Judgment, that means nothing is more strict. Hell, than which nothing is more terrible. Paradise, than which nothing is more delightful. We are reflecting on everlasting life. This is our hope, as it is also our fondest desire in this valley of tears. And my friends, we dare not forget there is also an everlasting death. This should be, pardon me, this is, a powerful motive, not only to follow Christ in carrying His cross, it should inspire our zeal to bring as many souls as possible with us into a heavenly eternity and protect them from everlasting death. We go on. The meaning of heaven. We are to grasp the meaning of what we believe. As Christ told us, otherwise we risk having the devil steal our faith. hear it. And the devil has stolen the faith of millions of once believing Catholics. How well I know in our day. After all, there are two kinds of joy. The experience of present desires fulfilled, and the hope of future desires to be anticipated. The more clearly we now understand what heaven means, the more deeply we shall enjoy by anticipation our celestial eternity. I would not dare identify the person with whom I spoke this evening by telephone. In deep, deep agony, his wife has legally separated him from his children. And I try to console him. There is a heaven. You believe that, don't you? I do. And the more clearly I repeat we understand the meaning of heaven, the more we will be able to carry our cross, you in your life and I in mine. Now, shall I call them subdivisions on the subject of the meaning of heaven? Heaven is our reward. We believe we have a free will with which we are to cooperate with God's grace. How cheap words can be. How deep their meaning should be. If we cooperate with God's grace in this life, of course, he will have the cross. We are not fools. But it will be at peace. And in the life to come, God will reward us with heavenly glory. We ask, of all the virtues we are to practice here on earth, to gain heaven, and hear the verb, earn heaven, it is especially the virtue of charity. Well, we can cheapen an already human language. We are to earn heaven by loving God with our whole heart, with our whole soul, with all our strength, with our whole mind. And it's especially, I know what I'm saying, loving God with our whole mind, believing that He is beneath, below, within everything, and the Word is everything in our lives. What is the one virtue that we are especially to practice to earn heaven? The virtue of charity by loving others. How are we to love others? Selflessly, generously, patiently. Thank God, I keep repeating, thank God for the people in your life who cause you pain. Thank God. That's the way you were in heaven. even to dying, out of love for those who do not love you. The rest of yourselves, the meaning of heaven. Heaven is the end of suffering. In the book of Revelation, Christ appealed to St. John with a question. See this city? Christ is speaking of the heavenly Jerusalem. Here God lives among men. He'll make his home among them. They shall be his people, and he will be their God. His name is God with them. He will wipe away all tears from their eyes. No more death, no more mourning or sadness. The world of the past has passed away. The book of Revelation, chapter 21, verses 2 to 4. All this needs to be said. Here on earth, doing God's will includes pain. Please hear me. And the deeper our love, the more we should expect to pay for our love. In heaven, doing God's will excludes all sorrow and sadness and all sufferings. The mystics tell us the greatest joy on earth is the acceptance of pain and doing the will of God. Amen. But in heaven, there is no pain, because in heaven, there is nothing contrary to our desires. Unlike the joys on earth, in heaven, there is no fear of losing what we have. There is no covetousness or greed. In the Lord's Prayer we ask, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. In heaven, everyone enjoys doing the will of God. Everyone does the will of God with all their heart. The literature of all nations tells us of the single deepest source of unhappiness on earth is the envy of others. Let me repeat. The literature of all nations tells us the single deepest source of unhappiness on earth is the envy of others. Our fallen human nature is sad when we see others possess what we lack, or others succeed where we have failed. In the city on high, no two saints will have the same degree of happiness. Yet, what a mystery. Each one's happiness will be increased by the absence of envy. Why? Because in heaven we shall all love one another with perfect charity. The next quotation, a little long, but I think is worth giving. It is St. Anselm, the British doctor of the church, writing at the beginning of the 12th century. Says Anselm, if anyone else who you love as much as yourself possess the same blessedness, your joy will be doubled, because you will rejoice as much for him as for yourself. If two or many more have the same joy, you would rejoice as much for each one as for yourself. Thus, in that perfect love, have called us angels and sainted men and women, where none will love another less than himself. Everyone will rejoice for each of the others as for him or herself. In the heart of man, the will scarcely contains his joy over his own great good. How would he contain so many great joys? Because everyone rejoices as much in another's good as he loves the other. It follows that, as in perfect happiness, each one undoubtedly will love God beyond comparison and more than himself, so he will rejoice beyond measure in the happiness that God has and the happiness that others have, which he does not lack because he enjoys what they possess. One more saint I think I should quote. We shall ask ourselves the meaning of heaven. This is from St. Thomas Aquinas in his commentary on the Apostles' Creed. Ode to St. Thomas. Whatever is delightful will be enjoyed in heaven superabundantly. I won't quote the whole passage, says Aquinas. If we desire pleasure, there will be supreme and most perfect delight, because its object will be God, the sovereign good. If we desire honors, all honor will be there. The highest ambition of a man, if he be a layman, is to be a king. And he is a cleric to be a bishop. And both these honors are in heaven. If we desire knowledge, there will be the most perfect knowledge in heaven. Because we shall know the nature of all things and all truth, and whatsoever we wish, we shall know. We shall possess whatever we desire to possess, together with eternal life. In this world, there is no perfect security. So the more one has, and the higher one's position, the more reasons one has to fear. And the more one wants. But in heaven, there is neither sorrow, nor toil, nor fear of losing anything. Unquote, St. Thomas. There are two reasons why the Church canonizes the saints. One reason is to ensure us that the saints are certainly in heaven. All this needs to be underlined. Over the centuries, the Church has canonized thousands of saints. What she tells us is that the saints are certainly in heaven. Every saint honored by the Catholic Church, we believe infallibly, is in heaven. But that is only part one. The saints, we believe, I repeat, on Christ's infallible teaching are in heaven. And consequently, notice, consequently, we are to aspire to what? Aspire to sanctity. If we have the time, I could give you at least a half a dozen definitions of sanctity. Here on earth, sanctity is the anticipation of heaven. But this anticipation is only as secure, only as certain, as we are doing the will of God. The first reason, therefore, why the church honors the saints is to assure us that there are human beings like us who have reached heavenly glory. Well, the other reason is we might have the example of saintly men, women, and children. We have lived holy lives here on earth, and now our faith tells us certainly in heaven. In other words, as we close the Apostles' Creed, I want to share with you what I beg our Lord to inspire you to do. Read the lives of saints. Learn from the saints how we are to live here on earth. And living a holy life in our modern world, I want to underline, means practicing heroic virtue. And that, in the church's language, is the meaning of sanctity. Practicing heroic virtue. The price of reaching heaven is nothing less than surrendering our wills completely to the divine will. No matter what the price may be, nothing we can give up, nothing we can sacrifice, nothing compares to the joys that await us, provided we have surrendered our own free wills to the wills of God. I'd like to close with a prayer of St. Alphonsus Liguori. He pleads with Jesus and his mother in words that deserve to be memorized. Says St. Alphonsus, "My sweet Savior, and the love of my soul, in this valley of tears, I still see myself surrounded by enemies who are separating me from Thee. My beloved Lord, suffer me not to perish. Make me ever love Thee in this life and the life to come, and then do with me as You will. Queen of Paradise, if You pray for me, surely I will be with You eternally, with Jesus, to praise Him and You forever and ever. Amen." Thank you for listening.